Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That is Isaiah 58:12. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is Zach Stoltenberg, adult adoptee and Iowa State coordinator for Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday at Christian Alliance for Orphans. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thank you for having me, Sandra. It's great to be here.
It's an honor to have you on the show. I love your story. You are an adoption advocate. You yourself were adopted from India at age 2, but your story actually begins with your adoptive mom's testimony. Would you share with us where your passion for adoption began?
Certainly. So I was adopted out of India at 2, like you had said, but my story kind of starts before that. And my adoptive mom, Lorena Stoltenberg, who is a huge pro-life advocate and has been for nearly 35 years in the state of Iowa and nationally. But before that, she found out she was pregnant at 15 and ended up getting married and had a miscarriage shortly after her marriage. And her and her husband then tried to work on their marriage, but it didn't work at that age. And so they ended up getting a divorce, which led her to a life of alcohol, abuse of drugs, and just addictions and all of that. And so she found herself pregnant 3 more times. And all 3 times she chose to have an abortion. So when she met my father, my adoptive father, she became a Christian, they became a Christian, and wanted to, you know, follow in the ways of the Lord and just start a family. And so when they tried that, they realized that she was infertile due to her abortions. And so they started in the U.S. looking for adoptions, and then they went over to India and found me, and so they adopted me. And that's really where my story kind of begins. But what really spurred on my adoption drive and what made me want to let other children know how beautiful adoption really can be.
Yeah, so really, your story is just as much about being pro-life as it is about adoption, because if we are pro-life as believers, we must also be pro-adoption.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so what can you tell us about your own adoption story? I know you said you were 2 years old, you were born in India. What else do you know?
So my birth mom was not able to keep me. And after reading through records and stuff, I kind of figured that out, that she became pregnant and with a promise from her fiance, boyfriend, that they would get married and raise me. However, he did not fulfill that promise. And so it was shame to her community and to her family to keep me. And so they placed me up for adoption through the Concord House of India. That was in Madras, India.
And Zach, the message that you often share about, because adoption, there's loss involved with adoption. It's messy, but it also is very beautiful. And you have a very positive perspective about your adoption story. Can you share that with us?
I do. You know, so many people, I think, look at adoption as, or as a birth parent saying, oh, I could never give my child away. I could never do that. And to me, you know, being the person that's been adopted, I guess I don't have anger or I don't have any ill feelings or ill will towards my birth parents. I understand that that's the culture and I understand that that's what they went through. But when I share and when my mom shares, I also, a lot of times will say, I believe that my life and my story became a redemptive story to someone else's past. It helped, it healed them. So in the fact that my birth mom or my adoptive mom was not able to have children, my story in my life became the healing point for her, because she realized that, yes, the only three children that she will ever bear she killed, but the Lord and his faithfulness allowed us a second chance in that aspect, and that was through my adoption. And so for me, adoption has never been a negative word, and it's never been a negative experience, because my parents have really cultured that lifestyle of being grateful and knowing that, you know, a lot of kids just get to be born in the family, but somebody chose you. And so that's like really my heart's desire for adoption, is to let children know that, you know, for me and my ministry specifically, that people are out there advocating and championing for those children to be adopted. And let them know, give them their self-worth, and let them know that they are loved like I was. You know, I had a village of people, if you will, that really surrounded my parents and have surrounded me throughout my childhood as I've become an adult, that, you know, I was never less than because I was adopted. I was always wanted.
I love that. And you've had such a positive adoption experience, and you see adoption as healing and redemptive, not only for you, right, but also for your adoptive mom. And you have a dream called Love's Chosen. Tell us about that dream.
Yeah, so Love's Chosen will be an adoption advocacy program, and it's where we mend hearts, we develop lives to create forever families. And it will be a place that will just kind of link, for now, the church and anybody that really wants to get adopted, not just the church, but anybody that wants to get involved in adoption or orphan care. It will link them with different ministries that already do that. So it's kind of like an advocacy program, too, because I feel like there's a lot of churches and a lot of people out there that I've been able to speak to throughout the last few years that have said, I want to get involved, but I just don't know how to get involved, or I don't know where to start. And so I want to kind of step in and build that bridge and mend that gap, saying, this is how you can get involved, or this is a resource that I've used, or here, let me look up for local adoption agencies in your area, or local foster care in your area, so that you can get involved, get contact information, and begin your journey of life.
I love that. I love that. Love's Chosen. Wonderful name. And one way that you are advocating for orphans and adoption is by being an Orphan Sunday Stand Sunday coordinator there in Iowa. And for our listeners who may not know, Orphan Sunday is an initiative of Christian Alliance for Orphans. It's the second Sunday of November annually. So this year it is November 11th. Orphan Sunday is one day for the church to unite with one voice for one purpose, to stand for orphans and foster children. Stand Sunday is the foster care version of Orphan Sunday, but really they're one and the same. There are countless ways for churches to observe Orphan Sunday, and there are free resources that can be found at orphansunday.org. So, Zach, as a coordinator there in Iowa, what do you do as a coordinator for Orphan Sunday?
So as a coordinator, I encourage churches to get involved, to sign their church up through orphansunday.org, and list their church as a host church and say that they would partner with us and be willing to announce this. So with that announcement, you can show a two-minute video that is provided by Christian Alliance for Orphans, and then have the pastor, somebody in your congregation that is involved in this ministry or just has a heart for orphans and adoption, that they could just say a prayer. Now, that could be the minimum that you do, or there's much more that you could do. So we have different churches here in Iowa that are looking at creating different community groups and cultivating that and having those community groups say, oh, I want, this couple has been looking to be a foster care, but they don't know if they have all the resources or if they can financially do it or mentally do it. And so then that community group and inside of that church will stand around them and kind of build that wall and say, you know what, if you're willing to step up and do this, we might not be able to because of our circumstances, but we will partner with you because that's what we can do. And so then that community group will help supply diapers or formula or just be a mental support or take respite care classes so they are able to do babysitting and different things like that. And so just really reaching out to the churches is what I'm currently doing as Orphan Sunday coordinator, and saying, this is what we would like you to do. Here's the video for 2018. if you would be willing to share that and say a prayer for those that are in orphan care. But also, if you have everybody, most churches these days have community groups or whatever is equivalent to that in your respective churches, and say, would you be willing to see if there are any foster host families here, or are there people in your church that are willing to adopt, because we would like their community groups to rally around them. I also am doing different drives and different initiatives here. So we're doing, you know, the Journey Bags to the Forgotten initiative. In a couple churches, we also have a shoe drive with another child foundation here in Davenport, Iowa. And so just doing different things that are different events that are leading up to Orphan Sunday, and all of that can be hashtagged on social media to My Orphan Sunday.
I love that. And so many, over the years, so many stories and testimonies have come through Orphan Sunday. That's why we have that hashtag My Orphan Sunday, because incredible testimonies. In fact, you know, we're on this show today called Orphans No More, which is an extension of Justice for Orphans ministry, my ministry. But all of this really was birthed out of the very first Orphan Sunday that my church had done a number of years ago. And I was already an adoptive mom. You know, my husband and I adopted children because we felt like this is what God called us to do. And we didn't really see beyond that as a big all-in church, everybody needs to do this kind of thing. We just did it because God said this to our family. But I had heard about Orphan Sunday somewhere, probably social media, right? And,
right. You
know, I brought that to my pastor's attention, who was also a foster and adoptive parent. So, like, I knew he would do it. You know, it was an easy sell. What I didn't know is he was going to say to me, you do it. And his wife and I, he gave us that service that Sunday, that year, to do Orphan Sunday. Whatever we wanted to do, he gave us the whole speaking part of the service. So in preparing for that, through praying, searching the scriptures, researching the statistics, I was wrecked because I did not know. And I'd been in orphanages in Eastern Europe. I just didn't know. I didn't have that connection. The Lord opened my eyes, broke my heart through preparing for that Orphan Sunday. And, you know, from that came, you know, I went to the CAFO summit that year and really came back with, wait a minute, if I didn't know this, and I'm an adoptive mom, if I didn't know this bigger picture, then the people sitting next to me in church, they don't know. Who's going to tell them? So through that is how the Lord birthed Justice for Orphans. And then he opened the door for us to have this radio show and podcast and all kinds of things our ministry is now doing here locally. We're launching Care Portal. And it all started with Orphan Sunday. So I'm passionate about Orphan Sunday because I have seen the fruit of it in my own life and experience. And it's a perfect opportunity for the church to just start this conversation. And like you said, Zach, Orphan Sunday can be as simple as saying a prayer. Have your Sunday school class pray for local kids in foster care to find their forever family. It can be as elaborate as inviting a guest speaker, such as an adoptive parent or an adult adoptee like yourself, Zach, to share their testimony during the service. Congregations can organize a diaper drive, like you said, or a formula drive for local crisis pregnancy centers or foster care agencies. You can set up an adoption informational table in your foyer of the church. There's just so many really easy things that a church can do on Orphan Sunday. So we just encourage you, Zach and I, both to go to orphansunday.org, add your church to the Orphan Sunday map. And when you do, you receive a free downloadable Orphan Sunday or Stand Sunday toolkit filled with the video that Zach mentioned and all kinds of other free resources and ideas and things that you can use to observe Orphan Sunday. It's an incredible ministry and an incredible opportunity. And there's churches across the United States and every state and around the world observing Orphan Sunday. And we just encourage you to get your church on there. So that's my soapbox, Zach. I got up there.
I love it. And the reason why we ask all of you to do this is because a lot of people forget that these kids and children are not the state's kids. They are church. They're first God's children.
Yes.
So therefore, it's a church responsibility. And that's why we're asking everybody that is involved in their church to register their church through My Orphan Sunday and everything. So that way, again, we can just bring awareness. but also continue to let these children know that, I mean, we may never meet them, but they are loved, and somebody is fighting that battle for them, and somebody is going to war on their behalf.
Absolutely. And it can just all begin for you and your church by just doing something on Orphan Sunday. So, Zach, as we really have plenty of time, so I was going to say wrap up, but we have plenty of time for you to really share your heart. What do you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
I think what I'd want them to take away is that, you know, so many, I just came back from the Philippines with the Bob Thibault Evangelistic Association, and we were able to minister to like 970,000 kids in the 3 weeks that we were there. And 930,000 of those children received Jesus as their Lord and Savior and made a personal relationship with Him.
Wow.
We spoke to about 3,000 schools. And now doing all of this, my heart has just continued to burn for children. And you can just tell that, I mean, especially in today's society, that children just want to be loved and they want to be noticed and they want to know that they are worth it to somebody else. And so that's what I guess I am kind of feeling, or what makes my heart beat, is that I want children to know that, again, they're worth it and somebody is fighting that battle, and that it may take till the day I die and then some, but I won't give up and you won't give up, and we love them where they're at, and they don't have to be born into a social class or a specific race or whatever for us to love them. But that we're willing to, like I said, go to war on their behalf because they're worth it. They will always be worth it. They were worth it when Jesus died on the cross, and they're still worth it to this day. And so I guess that's really where I'm coming from, is that I want others to know the absolutely beautiful effect of adoption, and because I've got to live it firsthand, you know. And I mean, my story, it obviously started off messy, but like God, you know, His stories never end with ashes. And so we have that truth and know that while we might all have a story and we all have a past and it may be messy and messier than others, but God's redemptive hand is all over it, and He's willing and will be going before us and, you know, making that way so that beautiful story can be developed, and we'll have a testimony at the end of it.
I love that. I love when you said that these kids, they're God's kids. They don't belong to the state. They don't belong to the foster care system. They are God's kids. And as the church, we need to stand for them. We need to be that voice for them. Like you said, stand in the gap for these kids.
Right. Yep. And as a church ministry leader or a pastor or a lay leader, you know, it can be where it's just another ministry that's going on, and or it's just another thing on the to-do list. But it shouldn't be, you know. This is a, like when you talk about being pro-life, pro-life doesn't end when the baby's here, you know. It is standing in the gap for those that can't stand in the gap for themselves, and so fighting for them. And so being pro-life and being, you know, like I said, doesn't just deal with abortion, but it deals with adoption, like you said at the beginning of the program, being pro-adoption. And so just really championing that in the church, because the church has, to me, the church has failed. I mean, we do well, but we don't do as well as we should, and we can do better, and we have room to grow. And so, again, you know, that's just what we're encouraging the church to do, is just to stand up.
And like you said, being pro-life, it doesn't stop once the baby is born, because even if the mom, and that's what we pray, that mom will choose life, that doesn't mean that she's going to be able to parent. So
correct.
We want her to choose life, but then if she's not able to parent, we need to be there. And that means adoption.
Amen.
Right? So, and another thing that you said is, I know you mentioned about the church and doing more and pastors. And I know in my Orphan Sunday story, I mentioned that I went to my pastor and, you know, and told him, hey, you should do this. And he handed it back to me. And I knew my pastor would give us the green light because he's an adoptive parent and he gets it. But not every pastor, you know, if we go to our pastor and say, hey, you should do this, pastor, our pastors are busy, and we get that. So as listeners, you know, don't just say, hey, pastor, you should do Orphan Sunday. You need to be prepared and go to your pastor and ask permission. Can we do something for Orphan Sunday? I'm willing to do it. I would like to do a diaper drive, and or I would like to, you know, have some information in the lobby, or can we get, you know, can we play this video clip? And so don't just dump it on your pastor. Pastors are so busy. Get permission, but be prepared to do this yourself, and find those folks in your church who have a heart for children, children's ministry. You may already have an adoptive family in your congregation or a foster family in your congregation. Go to them. Those are the folks that can help you get this going in your church. Don't just dump it on the pastor, but you know, get the permission, but be prepared. We need to each link arms and stand up. And like you said, Zach, go to war for these kids, because they're the voiceless. We need to be the voice for them.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So how can our listeners connect with you, Zach?
Yes, they can connect with me via social media. You can either find me through my personal Facebook, which is Zach Stoltenberg, and Zach is spelled Z-A-C. And then, or you can look through the Facebook page for Love's Chosen, which is just Love's Chosen USA. I believe you can type that in the search bar, and then that will bring you to Love's Chosen. And you can look me up on Twitter as well, or on Instagram. And then also, to just recap, more of our story and more in depth of it is captured in my mom's book that was just released in November called Singing in the Wilderness. And it really outlines Isaiah 54, which is just her life verse. And so each chapter is tied to that verse. And then at the end of each chapter are questions and prayers. So it's not just on abortion, but it's our life story together. I wrote part of chapter 10, which is the generations chapter. And so you can find that and get a copy of that book at LowenaStoltenberg.com, or you can purchase it off of Amazon as well.
Now, give us your mom's first name again.
It is Lowena. That's L-U-A-N-A. And then our last name is Stoltenberg, S-T-O-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G.
All right. So Lowena Stoltenberg, and her book, that's your mom, and her
correct,
your adoptive mom, and her book, Singing in the Wilderness, based on Isaiah 54. And it's your story, your life story together. I love that. I'm going to check that out myself. And then the website for your mom again, what is that?
It's just her first and last name. So it's just www.Lowena, L-U-A-N-A, Stoltenberg, S-T-O-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G.com.
.com. So you can find the book there or at Amazon. So that is incredible.
Correct.
Because I know I read, I went to your Facebook page for Love's Chosen, and your story, with, you know, the more of a detailed account of the story of your mom's testimony, your adoptive mom's testimony, and then your part in that. And it was just incredible. So I recommend people, you know, finding you on social media, on the Facebook page. And I know this book will be amazing because your mom travels. Maybe we should have had your mom on the show too, but your mom, you know, travels and speaks all over the country, correct? For
yes,
as part of the pro-life movement.
Correct. Yep. She's an international pro-life speaker, and being involved in politics here in the state of Iowa, she has been, you know, invited to the Heartbeat Bill that was just passed in Iowa. She was one of those who testified in behalf of that. And then in 2015, she was invited to Senate for a national court hearing for Roe versus Wade and trying to get that overturned. And so, she travels, and I'm beginning to travel, sharing my story and getting involved in this movement. But she has, like I said, been doing this for about 35 years. So if you would like her to come speak to a women's group, or if you'd like her to come speak for January for Sanctity of Life Month, you can also book her on the website. And if you'd like to get in contact with myself, you can shoot me a personal Facebook message, or, you know, do it through her website, and I'll get the information from that as well.
Yeah, I know of a couple crisis pregnancy centers in this region here who would definitely should be interested in having your mom and you even as a team come and speak. That would be wonderful. So
yeah, definitely. And again, you know, for Pregnancy Resources and CareNet, their parents. We go around and speak all over the country for those banquets and as well.
Too. Wonderful. Wonderful. Pro-life means pro-adoption. We need to stand for life and for these kids. So, Zach, thank you for all you are doing on behalf of orphans, and thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much, Sandra, and thank you for what you're doing in this ministry and, you know, reaching those that may need to hear, just need that friendly reminder, and then just standing in the gap and for truly going to war.
Oh, well, thank you. You can learn more about Zach by finding him on social media at Zach, Z-A-C, Stoltenberg, S-T-O-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G. He is on Twitter and Facebook, and you can also check out his Facebook page, Loves Chosen. So I encourage you to do that. Incredible story, incredible testimony. And again, make sure you get Orphan Sunday on your church calendar for this November. Check that out at orphansunday.org. And we thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans No More today. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. And Orphan Sunday is a great place to start. Get it on your church calendar. So to learn more or to contact me, Sandra Flack, visit justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.